Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts. He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot, Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns, he shoots. Yes! With 1 second remaining.
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to the December 17th episode of Pick and Pod. I'm Will Jing. I'm here with Kurt Sapel and George Svugatakis. We got a lot to talk about. And yeah, I know I saw your face, right? I got the
you
name.
You got it right.
I remember from the last time I had an episode with George. But there's the Bucks and the Thunder in the NBA Cup Finals tonight. I'm not the biggest fan of the whole idea of the Cup, but we'll get to that in a bit. I think we're all excited a little bit because we're getting to the end of the semester, so it's nice to have break coming up, and it's just nice to, you know, yeah, I'm really happy too, Kurt, and it's just nice to have some time to stop with the finals work because I still got a couple of finals left and to just talk with you guys for a little bit about ball. So let's just get started. Let's dive right into it. As I mentioned earlier, Bucks Thunder tonight for the NBA Cup Championship. I believe it's in Vegas. And so whoever wins is going to have a fun night tonight. And loser, well, I mean, you're in Vegas, so you'll have some fun, but it'll be...
Always the cope.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have something to turn your attention to, but it's not going to be as fruitful as it will be for the winners. But first off, I don't know if you guys know this, Darvin Ham is undefeated in the NBA Cup.
Yes.
Last year winning it with
the
Lakers.
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram. It was an interesting stat.
Too bad he's getting defeated tonight.
You think so?
Oh, those Thunder are hungry. Come on now. Bro, it's not like for me in general, one, I want to just say I really enjoy the NBA Cup. I think it's a fun way for teams like the Thunder to show off how good they really are. For people to say like, oh, who cares? Like, what does it matter? Like, for a team like the Thunder, like maybe like it shows off how good they really are in general. One, two, it gives them something to root behind, even if that is the NBA Cup and may not be the playoffs, but because they'll make it there. But now it just gives their fans another taste of like a playoff kind of experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It also gives a chance for like the 12th man on the bench to be able to make a couple bucks, put a couple bucks in his pocket, which is a different perspective. It's more on the financial side, but for the players who don't get as much playing time, it's a way for them to be able to have something to fall back on. You know what I mean?
See, I think there's pros to it. I'm not the person that's like, oh my gosh, there is absolutely zero benefit to having the cup. I think any kind of addition like that is going to have some type of benefit, which, you know, viewership initially went up. I mean, when they first introduced it last year, you can see the competitiveness kind of ramp up. You know, as I mentioned earlier, trip to Vegas, some teams get, you know, some time off. Teams want to party in Vegas, do whatever. So, you know, that's cool. And then, as you mentioned, George, I mean, for some of the guys at the end of the bench, there's some extra money at stake. And they could end up, you know, some of these guys are making a significant percentage of their salary if they, you know, if they win this cup.
100%, yeah. And it was 500 grand a person, right?
It is,
every player wins
500 grand.
That's more than some players' salaries.
That's a lot of money, even for the guys who are making more than that. It's still a lot of money at stake.
It is. But here's the opposite side. And I feel like personally it outweighs the pros. And that's that. I'll work my way up to the things of more importance. First off, I feel like you're adding something that is in a way devaluing the NBA playoffs because you're adding a different tournament and it's really not necessary. It's almost in the same way that they have now Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals MVPs. There is no point. You're devaluing it because you're giving the players and the teams another target to be looking at when the one thing you should be focused on is the way every sport works when it comes to regular season playoffs and a championship. you should be looking at that path and not this little off road that goes to the
I mean, I fully disagree with that. Sorry to cut you off there.
No. Like, I had another point, but that was a good stopping point for you to
but
jump
like,
in.
But like, what about like soccer? I know George is a big soccer fan, and like they have these mid in-season tournaments with like trophies and stuff. I mean, like, it's not a thing that like is devaluing an NBA championship. Everyone knows how good an NBA championship is. This is just another way for teams that might not be able to compete for an NBA championship to have their fans rally around something. Or another way, like I said before, a team that is good enough to get an NBA championship to put the league on notice. Right now, the Thunder, they're putting the league on notice if they win tonight.
But
I
they were
think
putting
they
the
put
league
the
on
league
notice
on notice.
before. They were
No,
already putting the
but
league
that's
on
a
notice. It's a
regular
different way.
season
It's
game.
a different way with more significance.
But I don't think it's of any significance because the one thing that's of significance is that NBA title. And you can't really compare it to soccer because soccer is a different sport with a lot of, you know, you have different leagues and different this and that. Different, oh, the level of competition and variety in soccer and the different leagues and the distances across, you know, because obviously you have World Cup, Euro Cup, each league has its own cup, this and that. I think that is comparing apples to oranges. Whereas, yes, you're also comparing apples to oranges, I guess, if you're comparing to the, you know, the three other major leagues in the United States, but that's a much closer comparison.
But every player in the league knows the level of significance and how much more significant the finals is compared to this cup.
Yeah, I
every
know,
player in the
but
league knows what's more significant to them, and that's of course the finals win. And
then why is it? Why do we need a deterrent?
It's not a deterrent because the viewership is still up more in the finals. There's more importance in the finals. There's more at stake in the finals than this cup. This is just a way for the NBA to gain more views and to put a couple extra bucks in the players' pockets.
I mentioned that as a pro. That is a pro. It's nice. I think it's great if you want to have a way to give the players an extra couple bucks. I think, you know, some of the players, especially as you mentioned, again, the guys at the end of the bench, they kind of need that. This is for some of them, for the ones that are lower paid, this might be as much or more than their whole salary. But at the same time, then there's no, you don't need this cup thing, right? You don't need an actual trophy and this and that. There should be one main objective, which is the NBA title, the Larry O'Brien trophy. And I mean, even the finals MVP, right? Like it matters, but there should be one of those. And then if you want to create, I've said this before on Pick and Pot, I think this was last year. To me, if you want to create a tournament for cash and don't call it like NBA Cup, just make it a tournament for cash. I think that's a lot better. I don't think you need the extra trophy. And, you know, you talk about viewership as compared to the NBA Finals. Let me tell you, the NBA Cup to me is really just a bandage on a bullet wound that is the NBA because viewership is going
100%.
down.
No, I know. I agree with that completely. The NBA has been struggling with viewers recently, and I think that has to do with the fact that it's 82 games in a year.
But I also
Yeah,
think
but
it's because viewership is down from last year in the NBA Cup itself, mind you.
Yeah, but again, I don't think this isn't about. This is also a way for regular season games to matter for many people. Like for a lot of people, regular season games just don't matter at all. And for the NBA Cup, it's now the fact that regular season games might matter more for some of these players because they want to win this trophy. So in that case, people are playing a little harder in the regular season with those 82 games, like George was saying. That might be why the NBA Cup is important. At least that's how I feel about it.
But why? Well, why should it matter? Because the one thing that should matter is not this. And then, as I said, it's literally just. Yeah, people might initially, especially last year, right? A novel concept. It's a new idea, right? It's like the new toy that you get when you're a little kid. You play with it for a little bit, and you promise that your parents that you're gonna still play with it. A little new train you got, and I'm telling this from experience. A little new train toy you got, right? You promised your parents just half hour ago that you're going to play with it for 2 weeks, and after that half hour you're done with that toy, you really don't care anymore, and then you go into your parents like, sorry. I think this is really what this is. Like, the viewership is already down. People might care initially because it's a novel concept, but the viewership went down from last year to this year, and at the end of the day it's going to keep going down because then people are going to become desensitized to it. I think that's what I really mean by the whole comparison with the actual, you know, NBA playoffs and cup. The actual NBA playoffs and finals. Like, people are going to eventually be like, it's going to be taken for granted. It's like, I think you, Kurt, you might know. George, I don't think you know. I'm a big wrestling fan. It's like adding a new title belt, or you could think of the same thing in MMA. It's like adding a new title belt when there's already enough title belts. Like, it's a novel concept, sure, but as soon as like it gets the first champion is crowned or whatever, people are like, yeah, it's whatever.
But they still all know the significance of the belt, no?
But
Everyone knows the
the significance
significance
of
of
the
an
belt
NBA
is gone.
championship.
That's the point.
Everyone knows the
You know, it's gone.
significance of an NBA championship. This
Yeah,
is different.
that's the thing. Everyone knows the significance of an NBA championship. It doesn't devalue the championship at all because that's still the main goal for every team. No team is going to go into the year and be like, I really want that NBA cup. And they go into the year and they think, we need that final.
No, but George, some teams like the Detroit Pistons might do that, but not like the Celtics. If they win, it's a positive. But like, if some of the teams that might not be able to compete for an NBA Cup win the NBA Cup, like not maybe able to compete for a championship, win an NBA Cup, like that's a little more exciting for them. You know what I mean? It gives their fan base something to rally behind that's not a championship because they might not be able to make the playoffs. And I don't think that devalues anything.
I agree though. I don't think it devalues anything at all.
I think devaluing the playoffs was the wrong choice of words. What I really, a better choice of words would have been, I think that this is just, you don't need anything else that is an off-road. It's not that it's devaluing the playoffs in itself. You don't need that extra thing there. You just need one. And I think that one goal, one North Star for most NBA teams is enough. But I mean, I think we've all stated our points. I think we've gotten our points out. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. But I do want to get to some predictions for tonight. Giannis, Dame, and Chris Middleton, I wanted to let you guys know, are probable on the injury report. And OKC has a bunch of players out. That includes Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, and Nikola Topic. So, with that being said, who do you guys have winning tonight's game?
If Giannis is playing, I think it's gonna be a close game because I think that the Thunder are gonna have to put Hartenstein on him and then leave the big man open, leave Brook Lopez open, and that makes him a little bit of a toss up. But I think that the Thunder are gonna end up winning
I think the
by.
Thunder.
I think Thunder are gonna win by around 8 to 10.
Thunder definitely. Young, scrappy team plays faster than the Bucks. I feel like the Bucks have had a lot of issues this season, and I feel like the Thunder are really roaring and ready to go. So I think it's the Thunder all the way.
The
See,
Bucks have
from.
momentum though, no? The
Huh?
Bucks have momentum.
The Bucks
They
do
might
have a
have
lot of momentum. They
momentum, but
started
so do the
so
Thunder.
poorly. The Bucks started so poorly. I mean, I think at one point they had like. One, they were like 1 in like 5 or something crazy like that. Not what you would expect for, you know, their roster on paper, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. It's a four-way tie for second place in that specific category. The only team that is better though in that category would be OKC, which is 9-1.
Yeah,
So,
they're on a 6-game win streak right now, I'm pretty sure. Like,
yeah.
this is not ridiculous to say that like they're beating teams by like 30 plus points or 18 points. Like, I think like the OKC has been really good, and I think that it's not a shocker to me if they not blow out the Bucks, but if they at least beat them by 15.
No, I agree. I don't think it's a shock, but I think it's going to be a more competitive game than people think.
See, I personally, I have it this way. If Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Damian Lillard all play, I have the Bucks winning this game. I think Darvin Ham remains undefeated. But I think if even one of those players is out for whatever reason, they're all probable. But if even one of those is out, I think, you know, also considering Chet Holmgren's absence, that's a big hole on the team. I do think OKC wins if even one of those players is out. But you know, we'll see tonight. Both teams definitely are title contenders. But guys, we spent like 15 minutes talking about this cup alone. Let's talk about some other stuff. Let's talk about Jimmy Butler. So first, we had earlier this week one of the more interesting storylines. I think probably, I mean, for me personally, it might have been the most interesting storyline of the NBA so far. And it's literally was Jimmy Butler's agent versus Shams on Twitter, because Shams said that there was some subtraction picking up for a trade for Jimmy Butler, and then Jimmy Butler's agent shot that down. But now it looks like more and more Shams may have been right. And Shams is standing on business. Because now Shams is saying that Jimmy Butler is preferring to go to Golden State or Phoenix. But then again, he also reported that the Heat are in no rush to trade him because they don't think anyone's going to outbid. They don't think anyone's going to outbid them in free agency. Jimmy Butler does have a $52 million player option in the offseason. So I guess I'll ask you guys, what do you think is the best choice for Jimmy Butler? What do you guys think is the best choice for the Miami Heat? And what do you guys think is the actual ending result?
Well, so far, the Heat already said that they're not signing him to an extension. That's already a note that's happened in the beginning of the year, unless he starts playing better. One. Two, I also think that in general right now, the Heat are in no rush to trade him because the Heat have started winning again. The Heat look like a really good team, and also Jimmy Butler has started to actually start playing a lot more games than he has been usually. So instead of saying, I think personally the Heat right now, if they continue on the pathway they are, which I guess if you guys would agree with me, has been kind of good, not great.
Yes,
I think agree. Not for the season, but just in general, it feels like mediocrity kind of follows them because they can go on some great runs and then randomly they just fall out. And now they're 13-11 on the season. They've been winning some. They won against the Suns. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Cavs. They beat the Raptors. The Pistons beat them by one. I mean, listen, at this point, it's up to the front office to see if they really want to retool this Heat roster, because at the end of the day, that's all that's going to stop them.
It seems like that wherever Jimmy Butler goes, nothing but issues follow. Look what happened in Minnesota. Look what happened in Philly. And now there are issues going on here.
Yeah, but this is the first team that he's ever actually wanted to play for, it feels like. Philly, he didn't really want to be there. He didn't want to be in – we know he didn't want to be in Minnesota. So, realistically, I think Jimmy Butler now, if he gets to choose his trade destination, which isn't always good that he's a bad teammate, can also show that maybe he has a better potential playing basketball because we've seen how good he's been just in every which way.
That's true. He is very good when he's on a team that he wants to play for, but with a team that's the middle of the pack – I don't think he wants to play for a team that's middle of the pack.
Well, he's not getting traded to a team in the middle of the pack. He's getting, like, if he's going to Golden State, he's competing for a championship.
100%, right. which I think is if he can choose his trade destination, he'd play better than what he is.
Even the storyline of, like, sorry, Will, just like even the storyline of, like, when he was with Minnesota in practice and playing like half their guys on like with one other shooting coach, and was like the whole time clowning on them saying, you need me. Like, I think Jimmy Butler is really good, and I know how good he's been this season for the Heat. He's been on the court more often than he ever has been before, and some of those days he doesn't look as good as usual. But overall, the Heat in general now, they're not going to trade him if they start to get on a better trajectory than where they were in the beginning of the season.
First off, Jimmy Butler has no control of where he goes right now because the Heat, there's no trade clauses, at least as far as I know. The Miami Heat are in full control of where he goes. Secondly, Jimmy Butler, it's not that he's only good whenever he's on a contending team. It just shines more. He was good in Minnesota. He was good in Philly. He was good in Chicago. It's just now that he's carrying this Miami Heat team to, you know, a couple of NBA finals trips, he's better. And I wouldn't say, I mean, not that he's better. He's getting the light shined on him more, and that's getting more attention. I also don't think Jimmy Butler was ever a problematic teammate. He was never problematic in Chicago, right? He went to Minnesota. It was a problem there. He didn't want to be there, yes, because he had issues with Cat. But we've seen that before with other combinations of players. Not everybody's a fit for each other. He didn't have problems specifically in Philly. He just, you know, he decided that the fact that Philly ended up paying to. Okay, actually, let me take that back. I think the Tobias Harris thing was entirely separate. But either way, he never had a problem with Joel Embiid or anyone there. He just preferred Miami. It wasn't a problem in Philly, and he hasn't been a problem in Miami. In fact, he's carried them and been a leader for them for the past 4 or 5 seasons. I think the only real problem was Minnesota, and I don't think that one-off season is enough to judge him as a bad
team. I mean, I think in Philly, it was like he clashed with the head coach a lot when he was there, and that's why he chose to leave and go to – that's why he chose left and went to the Heat. And now I think he is – well, no, I don't think he's a problematic teammate like you're saying. I still don't think that he want like, if something's not going his way, he's not going to thug it out.
He's not –
I have to agree with Kurt on that one.
He's not going to thug it out. So,
and the only team I think he has thugged it out with at the moment is the Heat. And that's only because he's where he wants to be at the moment, as well as the Heat putting him in his place and saying
– lived through some dark times with the Bulls.
Yeah, but that was in the beginning of his career. Like, he was being put in his place with the Heat right now, being told, listen, if you don't play better, you're gone. Like, go find somewhere else to play. And that's why we're seeing him play more.
I don't think – yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess if he doesn't want to be someplace, he's not going to thug it out. But at the same time, I don't think that where he wants to play idea is purely based off of where he can win. Because I think we – even though, yes, this Miami Heat team went to the finals, they played the Nuggets in the NBA Finals 2 years ago, I think we can all pretty much – okay, I guess never say never. But right now, looking at the way the season's panning out, we can all agree that there's a very, very slim chance the Miami Heat make it to the NBA Finals again.
I agree, but Jimmy Butler also becomes a different player in the playoffs.
You're right about that. He becomes Jimmy Butler.
I don't really love that point always with players. I mean, like, I understand what you're talking about. Like, yeah, people try to shine more in the playoffs. No one thought that 8-seed
team was going to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah,
but make it to the finals.
Still, I get it. But I still think that it's not about him playing in the playoffs better than what he is. I just think that Jimmy Butler is always good. I feel like that's very true. When he's on the court, he's pretty much a plus only when he's playing well. And usually he is.
Yeah,
I agree, but he turns into one of the best players. He turns into like essentially the best player on the court when he gets the playoff time.
Yeah, but that also has nothing.
Which isn't what he is right now. He's top three best players against a good team, but against any team he becomes the best player on the court.
Okay, but how does that apply to this whole thing of? It's like, value. How does that connect to where he's going to end up?
It connects to value, does it not?
Connects, to, but like, so you're saying that you think he's going to leave, or you think he's going to stay, or you're
understand losing what George is saying. George is saying that like his performance on the court connects to what the value that they're going to put on him in trading, and also like I think wherever Jimmy Butler requests to get traded is where the Heat are going to bring him, because he's been good to the Heat organization. And I don't think they're going to just be like, all right, buddy, you're going to the Pistons because they can give us 15 picks for you.
That's true. I mean, okay, on one hand, do you guys remember what happened with Pat Riley and D-Wade? Pat Riley, he's a smart businessman, but he can be stingy. So I don't think he would trade Jimmy to, like, the Pistons or something. That's kind of diabolical. But I do think Pat Riley is going to be like, look, you are under contract with us. We're allowed to deal you wherever you want to wherever we wish. And also, I don't know that I think Jimmy's in a situation where he's not really trying to go anywhere, but he's like, listen, if you guys just don't want me here, this is where I would prefer.
Yeah, he's not trying to leave, but the Heat organization in general said, listen, man, like, you're probably going to have to go if these things aren't met, like I said before. So if he gets traded to Golden State, I don't love the trade to Golden State. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how much I get what's going on with it, and I get that they want to have him so like it improves the squad around him. But I don't know. It improves the squad around Steph Curry, but I don't know if Jimmy Butler's the answer to the improvement of the squad around Steph Curry.
That's fair enough. I mean, look, the Miami Heat, I think they're kind of where we expect them to be this season. But I want to ask you guys, kind of shifting topics a little bit, what teams do you guys have that have surprised you this year in a good way, and what teams have been disappointing to you?
I think the Nets definitely, they didn't surprise me. as a Nets fan, I knew that they were going to be good. And then they disappointed me now after that trade that they just had off, that they just capped off at the moment. That really made me very disappointed. Getting rid of Dennis Schroeder to the Golden State Warriors really just kind of annoyed me at the end of the day because it really showed that the tank was on and that they didn't really care about trying to build something fun or something cool for Nets fans to appreciate. So that's probably the disappointment I'm feeling right now.
I have to think that one of the disappointing teams has to be the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, 100% agree with you. They should be so much better than they are.
When you look at that roster, there is no excuse for being under 500. DeMar DeRozan, DeMontis Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, those are all high-level players, and they're all not gelling as a unit.
They're just losing such close games, too. It
I know,
just.
but some of these games they shouldn't be close games.
I don't know. I
They
agree.
shouldn't.
Losing to the Spurs by two is ridiculous.
100%.
Losing to the
Losing,
Trailblazers.
winning, beating the Pelicans by two. The Pelicans.
Yeah.
What is this?
The Pelicans should also be better. They disappointed me as well, but they're ravaged with injuries.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're a hospital. Losing to the Nets by five. What is this?
That was before they traded for Dennis Schroeder. I mean, I understand why what happened. The Nets are pretty good. The Nets are pretty good with him on the court. He was the floor general man.
Losing to the Hawks by one. Those games should never be that close.
Yeah.
You know who's really disappointed me this year? And I don't e they're not even bad, but they're still good. But I think the Denver Nuggets have been a disappointment. Considering the roster they have, I thought they would be much better than 14 and 10. I mean, you basically took most of what they had last year and added Russell Westbrook.
I
I
mean,
thought that team would be a top two
that's not a
seed.
huge, like their bench is so, their bench has been kind of barren, as well as just guys, their guys that they try to build around, like MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., really haven't been that good. So, I mean, like he's had a fall off this season.
That's what I'm saying. It's disappointing.
Oh, no, it is
Another
disappointing, but like definitely it makes sense why it's happening. You know what I mean?
in a way. Disappointing team is the Timberwolves as well. Going on that powerhouse unit, the Timberwolves have been disappointing.
See,
Even without Cat,
I'm not as surprised by the Timberwolves and where they're at because they traded Cat.
also, I've been saying this for years as a diehard Knicks fan. Julius Randle is a mess. He's a disappointment everywhere he goes. The whole fan base hates Julius Randle, and I don't know why the Knicks ever enjoyed that. But I was always one of the first haters of Julius Randle, and it's so happy to see him making another team bad.
He doesn't make that team bad. I still feel like he's a pretty good player, and he would have
Doesn't
made
play
the Knicks a
defense.
better.
No
He
defense,
would have
no
made the
effort.
Knicks better. He would have made the Knicks much better than they are right now. I feel like the
That's
defense that
insane.
he
That's a crazy
supplies,
statement. He doesn't play
the
defense.
defense that he applied su supplied to the Knicks would have made it at least a little bit better than how much little defense they play now.
You know what's crazy? I didn't before the Julius Randle trade. My local Planet Fitness trainer apparently he works with somebody who works for the Knicks, and he told me that this guy told him that the Knicks are looking to trade Julius Randle. I'm like, I don't know what they're really going to get for him. Like, I think you're just, BSing me. And lo and behold, a few weeks later it happens. And I listen, I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, like the Timberwolves won. Like, what are the Knicks doing trading away Dante? But I think ultimately, looking back with the way Cat's playing this year, I mean, we're talking about surprising teams, but I think Cat's been surprisingly good as a player.
Cat's a top five MVP man right now. And if anyone tells me otherwise, that's the furthest thing from the truth.
I mean,
You said he's an MVP candidate?
I don't know about
Top
all
five.
that. Top five is a little, he's not really dragging the person that's actually the MVP on your team is Jalen Brunson. I
He's
don't want
always
to hear that it's
MVP
Cat.
on my team,
Yeah, but it's not
but
Cat. He drags this team. Cat does not help this team like Jalen Brunson does. Jalen Brunson drags this team.
you know what? We're
Oh,
talking about
talking.
MVPs. Let's.
Talking personal stats, it's Cat.
It's Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, I was George. The game I was reporting on, Jalen Brunson had a crazy, crazy stat lines that were literally keeping them in the game. Bro, like
Listen,
I understand that he's leading the league in rebounds right now, and he's having this crazy season that no one predicted that he might be having, but that's only because he finally has a center role that's not behind Rudy Gobert. And I think right when Mitchell Robinson comes back and they can slot him over and not be the full-time center, because I don't think that he's a good full-time center for this Knicks squad, even in the playoffs.
Well,
I think that.
I agree. I don't think he's a great full-time center, but his stat lines are something that
Stat
is
lines, yeah, this is also
insane.
judged on eye test, and you can't lose to the Pistons based on an MVP candidate. Jalen Brunson is the guy who drags you guys along half the time. Actually, more than half the time, three-fourths of the time. And that's even me being a little too generous. That's me even being a little too liberal with my amount that I'm saying it. He's been awesome for the Knicks.
Listen, we're talking about MVP candidates. Let's just go down. I know we had this as an idea beforehand. Let's just list. I know George, you're probably going to have Cat on this list, but let's just list our current top five MVP candidates in order right now.
Let me
Kurt, go
get,
first. Yeah.
yeah, I'll do Jokic. He's number one at the moment. I mean, like, he's has ridiculous stat lines. Who else can I say? I'm trying to think right now. For 2024, like the candidates, I guess. Oh, Shea. Oh my God. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Course.
Bro's goated at whatever he does. He touches the basketball and I think it's going in every time. Gimme for my third guy, gimme Jalen Brunson. I don't like saying that, but gimme Jalen Brunson because it's just he's ridiculous and I don't think he's gonna win it. Jason Tatum and Luka.
Okay,
I
George.
have I have two of the same, and then my actually three of the same, and then my two others are different. I have Jokic. This is in no particular order. Jokic, Shea, and Tatum. Then I have Kat and Giannis.
Okay. All right.
Giannis putting up 32, 11, and 6 per game is insane.
All right. So here's my order. I got Jokic first. I mean, he's almost averaging a triple double. I think he's 0.1 assists away, which is nuts. We got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at number two. I got Luka at number three. Giannis at number four. He's playing like crazy, but his team is still, because of that slow start, still floundering a little bit. And then Jason Tatum is my number five. But I do have to give an honorable mention to Donovan Mitchell because he's the best
He's
player
nuts.
on the best team. And if you saw him in their first loss against the Celtics, that was insane. He
Darius
like
Garland was non-existent that game.
exactly. And Donovan Mitchell carried them to like a 3-point loss.
He did. And that's exactly my point with Jalen Brunson, though. That same Donovan Mitchell point is how I feel. And I don't think either of them will get the same appreciation.
That's true. Well, that we're almost gonna wrap up, but I do want to mention really quickly just before we do. Earlier today, the new All-Star format for this year was announced. It's going to be four different teams. Each one is eight. There's going to be 24 All-Stars selected. Shaq, Kenny Smith, and Charles Barkley, it should make for an interesting trio, are going to draft those 24 players, eight each to three different teams. They're each going to coach one. And then Candace Parker is going to coach, I believe it's one of the Rising Stars
It's
winner, right?
a winning Rising Stars team.
Okay. So that should. Let me just, before we wrap up, yay or nay from each of you guys?
I don't mind it. I think it's kind of fun. I mean, like, why not? Again, I think East and West should come back because, like, this is just kind of trivial and it won't last very long. Like, what happens if one of these guys retire? Like, just because they're the most favorite media guys, like, doesn't mean that everyone wants to, like, watch this forever. And they might retire one day and then you don't have this format anymore. You know what I mean? This can't be a revolving door every year with the All-Star game. So I think I would say yes, I like it, but I think also in general, I think that it has to just fix to East and West again.
I agree. I fully agree with that. And also the All-Star game doesn't seem to have any value anymore to the players. They play soft. They put up half court shots half the time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not an
It's
East-West
just not the
guy.
same as it once was. I used to watch old All-Star highlights from back in the 90s, and it's just completely not what it is anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an East-West guy, but I like the new format. It is what it is, but that'll do it for today. It's great talking with you guys, George and Kurt. I'm Will Jang, and this was Pick and Pod, a production of WFUV Sports.